Everybody, welcome into First Take. Are you not hyped after that little montage of the Stephen A.T.'s Dan Orlovsky on your screen? Dan, always good to see you, sir.
Good morning. Good morning.
Good morning.
I love the highlight, love the artist, the rock music, I mean.
What? That was a sick matchup.
That's a sick matchup.
No. The J Balvin was the sick part.
I'm just saying, for you, for me, I'm a product of the hip-hop generation. I'm an R&B.
Yeah.
I'm just saying.
I don't know.
But I did like it.
I'm here for a little reggaeton. The Colombianas. Okay, guys. Friday, let's go. Bears fans, your wish has been granted. The time has come for Justin Fields to get his first career start as an NFL quarterback, with Andy Dalton expected to be with a left knee injury. Coach Matt Nagy said Fields will be under center for the Bears game Sunday against the Browns. Nick Foles will serve as the backup to Fields, who is 6 of 13 for 60 yards with an interception and ran for 31 yards on 10 carries and plays Dalton in last Sunday's win against the Bengals. Here's more from Coach Nagy and Justin Fields.
When Andy is healthy, he's our starter. And then I go back to for Justin. Justin's worrying about right now, and Justin's worried about trying to help us beat Cleveland. I've talked about it this entire time that we're not going to get into that what-if game. I don't really want to go there other than just saying that when Andy is healthy, he's our starter.
If you told me, 8 years ago, that I'd be in this position, I probably wouldn't believe you. But, you know, I think as time went along, I just got more comfortable and kind of, I guess my goals kind of, you know, got bigger and bigger. And then, you know, of course I'm here. So, of course, around this time last year, I was, of course, had an idea that, you know, I could be in this position right now. So actually seeing myself in this position and being able to get the start on Sunday, it's amazing.
Dan, no one evaluates quarterbacks better than you. Tell me this. Should they be starting Fields?
Absolutely. Justin Fields should have been starting from week one. Simply put, Molly, this offense has the chance to be better with Justin Fields than it does Andy Dalton. And that's my thing. Is Andy Dalton a better quarterback right now than Justin Fields? Maybe because of his experience. But what quarterback gives the offense the chance to be better? And that's Justin Fields. And if you watch this team offensively through 2 weeks, one, the scheme has actually been better than I had anticipated. Two, the offensive line has not been nearly as disastrous as we thought. And then going back to when Justin Fields played last week, I thought he played really well. Dropped a touchdown pass from Allen Robinson, a couple misses to Mooney that just go off his fingertips. And I watched a young man that we had heard out of Chicago multiple times over the past couple weeks. People say, well, he's not ready. And I'm watching the tape going, what tells me he's not ready? He's incredibly athletic. He escapes on 3rd and 9. He gets rips away from a defensive end that's 260 pounds. Andy Dalton can't do that for this offense. He's got 3 misses away, dropped passes away from being 10 of 13 as a passer. I think this is a no-brainer, and there's ways that Matt Nagy can handle this offense on Sunday that we will see a Bears offense that we have not seen since he became their head coach.
Okay, you already lost the argument before I even got started with the last point that you made about Matt Nagy. You got to be giving me a break. First of all, don't let me pull up tapes of you on NFL Live and other places talking about Matt Nagy. You haven't been his biggest fan, so let's stop that right there. Don't all of a sudden act like, oh my goodness.
That's why my
right
first
here.
Point.
Excuse me, Zip. It's my turn now. It's my turn, Dan Orlovsky, UConn Husky. Fall back.
Whoa.
Now.
That's right.
Fall back right now, Dan Orlovsky.
Okay.
You are not the biggest Matt Nagy fan, okay? So let's get that out of the way first. Secondly, let's not be disingenuous to the American public here. As far as I'm concerned, the global public, because we're watched everywhere. Here's the reality of the situation, Dan Orlovsky. We're not talking about whether or not Justin Fields should be the starting quarterback for the Chicago Bears. We all know this is an inevitability. This is something that's going to happen, whether Andy Dalton is healthy or not.
Okay.
At the very latest, by week 6, we can't see somebody other than Justin Fields starting for this franchise. The question really is about, should this dude be starting this week? Against Myles Garrett, against the Davion Clowney, these are the kind of things that I'm thinking about when I'm thinking about Justin Fields. My position has always been, start him after week 4. You let him get his bearings under him. You get your offensive line together. I'll give it to you. They haven't been nearly as awful as predicted. They came into the season, a lot of people had expectations about them to be pretty porous, and that hasn't been the case. They've got the 8th-ranked rushing attack, so clearly they know how to run block. Now, they're 31st against the pass, but that's really about who's your quarterback and potentially who's your play caller. Nevertheless, when you've got all of those question marks right there, and you're going up against Cleveland in his first start, that's my trepidation, Dan Orlovsky. I'm just simply saying, can we get through Cleveland and then hand him the reins for his first stop going up against the Detroit Lions the following week? I like those prospects rather than throwing him into the Lions' den against the Cleveland Browns this Sunday. That's all I'm saying, Dan. There's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, first of all, let's be very careful how we talk about our Lions, my Lions specifically. We don't denigrate them on national.
There,
we ain't
got to
take shots. We ain't got to take shots at the Lions.
We don't take the shade at the Motor City.
Yeah, exactly. I'm with you on the understanding. I have not been a big fan with Matt Nagy in relation to how he handled Mitchell Trubisky. I'll go on national television right now and tell you that if Matt Nagy takes kind of the Baltimore offense, the Eagles offense, and the Green Bay offense, and he puts them all together and he makes a baby, I'll be on national television on Monday singing his praises.
You're making me laugh. But that's what he's got to do, Stephen A.
Hold on, in other words, something he's never done.
Suddenly he's going to do week one with Justin Fields as his quarterback. Week one?
He's going to watch First Take on Thursday, and he's going to see that's what he has to do, and he's going to do it. But here's my thing. You talk about can we not do it against the Browns. Stephen A., the next 5 games, he's got to play Pittsburgh. He's got to play San Francisco. He's got to play the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. I mean, at some point, we got to take the big boy, the little kid pants on and put on the big boy pants.
Yeah, but you start
this is the NFL.
Excuse me. Did you walk before you crawled? No, you crawled before you walk. And what I'm trying
Not
to say
everybody.
Is that the Detroit Lions are crawling, okay? The Cleveland Browns, that damn it, that's damn near sprint for crying out loud. I'm looking at Cleveland. And then after Cleveland, you got Detroit, okay? Then after that, you got a road game against the Raiders. You got a home game against the Packers. You got a road game against Tampa Bay. All I'm trying to say is that, fine, because guess what? If you're going up against Detroit, you can get the confidence necessary. That's my thing. What is Nick Foles there for? What is the reason? What is the purpose for him being there for? You're paying him, ain't he? Ain't he a Super Bowl champion?
Because you can't move his contract.
I understand that. But listen, he's not a scrub. He's no different than Andy Dalton. And as far as I'm concerned, if you were willing to put Andy Dalton in the lineup, you should be willing to put Foles in the lineup. What's wrong with that thinking?
I'll ask you this. In your opinion, this week against the Cleveland Browns, who gives the Bears the best chance to win the football game? Take the we don't want to put somebody into this team. Who gives the Bears the best chance to win the game? Justin Fields or Nick Foles?
Wow. You know what? I can honestly sit up there and say to you, it might be Foles. It might. What? I don't know. But let me tell you why. Because if I'm Justin Fields, I got to rely on 2 things. His accuracy as a thrower, which obviously, in fairness to him, he hasn't had an opportunity to really show us yet, because last week was not the greatest litmus test in the world once Andy Dalton went down, and we understand that. But I have to combine that with Matt Nagy. And what I'm thinking about with Nagy, Foles has been there longer. There's a level of chemistry he does have with that particular coach. He does know the offense. He is a veteran. Does he have the ability of Justin Fields? Hell no. Can he scramble like Justin Fields? Hell no. But if one thing we could say about Nick Foles, we can say this. He does come in under adverse circumstances and delivers then. The problem is he's got what I call a Fitzpatrick syndrome. When you rely on him long term, he's not your dude. But if you need him in a clutch moment, he can deliver for you for a game or 2 or 4. Mm-hmm. Nick Foles has shown he could do that. I have no problem with it.
I don't think it's even close. Justin Fields gives you a significantly better chance to win this football game than Nick Foles. His ability to throw the ball downfield accurately, because he showed it last week against the Bengals. Plenty of accurate throws. And I understand there wasn't a big sample size. With the Matt Nagy stuff, my opinion on it is this, Stephen A. I can't believe that head coach, who knows this is his only opportunity to keep his job, took all that draft capital and said, we got to go get this kid, and he's not willing to adjust his coaching style schematically. Ooh. I can't sit back and think he's just going to call the same offense. Oh, I agree. Didn't do it with Mitchell Trubisky. I agree with you.
Right,
I can't sit here and believe he's not going to change some adjustment.
Hold on. I can help you out. Now, this is a basketball thing. This actually happened. We had a coach in New York once upon a time by the name of Mike D'Antoni. Mm. Now, Mike D'Antoni is a brilliant, innovative offensive mind. A couple of dudes, Steve Nash, James Harden, were league MVPs under his stewardship.
Yeah.
Nothing but respect for him offensively. But when they traded, when they wanted to trade for Carmelo Anthony, he was opposed to that. Because he had Danilo Gallinari and Wilson Chandler and a bunch of other parts at that particular moment in time. This is back in like 2009, around that time, okay? I bring that up to say to you, Dan Orlovsky, that in the world of professional sports, you do have coaches.
I agree.
When they bring in somebody new, their attitude is they want to bring him along slowly because in part, not totally, but in part, it buys them time. See, you're saying his job is on the line. He could make the argument, well, I got this young quarterback. Give me a little time to bring him along, hoping it buys him time so he can keep his job a little bit longer than what we'd anticipate. That's a strategy that these guys employ sometimes.
And I agree, but the time is now, and Justin Fields is playing.
Yeah.
And if Matt Nagy did not have plans to adjust his offense, I truly believe they would have drafted Mac Jones. If he was going to run the same offense that he's wanted to, like the Alex Smith-style Kansas City stuff, they would have drafted Mac Jones. I have to believe that they are going to alter this offense to unleash this young man on Sunday, and he should have an outstanding afternoon.
I just
hope so, because the Bears have allowed 6 sacks this season, and the Browns favored by 7 in this one. Yes.
I just want everybody to, and I want to encourage everybody to watch NFL Live.
Okay.
And not only is it a great show with him,
on ESPN,
the wonderful Laura Rutledge and Mina Kimes, along with my man Swagoo, but also because I'm going to watch what Dan Orlovsky says next week if something goes wrong, because this man is no Matt Nagy fan. So I just want to make sure. I'm going to roll the tape.
Yep.
I'm going to roll the tape. Okay. Go ahead.
I've told you what he needs to do.
A potential NFC Championship preview at 4:25 Eastern on Sunday. Antonio Brown placed on the reserve COVID-19 list after testing positive for the virus, putting his week 3 status against the Rams in jeopardy. He's the third player, along with inside linebacker special teams captain Kevin Minter and a practice squad wide receiver who are also on this list. Now, you could argue the worst game of Tom Brady's career in a Bucs uniform was week 11 against LA last season. Here's Bruce Arians and Rob Gronkowski on the Los Angeles Rams.
So far this season, are the Rams the most complete team we've seen on both sides of the ball?
I would say so far, you know, and, they don't have a glaring weakness anywhere. You know, kicking game's excellent, offense, defense. So for us, it's the travel, it's the short week, and getting used to a regular season week and a heck of a challenge.
Sometimes you go to a game and there's just no hype to the game, and then there's games where there's a lot of hype, and this is one of those games that's going to be a lot of hype.
Dan, are the Rams the biggest roadblock to the Bucs running it back?
They are now, and that was not the case 3 weeks ago because I felt it was the Washington football team, but their defense hasn't played good enough and their quarterback got hurt. The way the Rams look are very much so kryptonite to Tom Brady in this offense. They play a ton of zone coverage, meaning that they're not going to give the ability to get those one-on-one matchups on a consistent basis where Brady can kind of be protected in the pocket, and it's almost like recess. My guy better than your guy, and I'm going to pick him and throw the ball to him. So the zone coverage forces them to play a little bit in style that they don't want to. They can get after Tom Brady, Aaron Donald, Floyd. Like, they got good pass rushers still that they don't have to commit a bunch of blitzing bodies to try to kind of rattle Tom Brady. They can play that zone coverage. And then the opposite side of the ball, Mal. Like, I've been trying to tell everybody since the moment it happened, Aaron Donald is phenomenal, and this defense is lights out. I've been trying to tell everybody since the moment Matthew Stafford went to L.A., we are going to see explosion on offense. And you're talking about a head coach and Sean McVay that is just sitting there going, how much fun can I have? I can go after this defense. And Tampa Bay's defense right now is not playing good. That secondary's not playing good. They're giving up completions like, it's Oprah. You get a completion. You get a completion. You get a completion. And it's not a good defense right now. They ain't getting after the quarterback. And you're talking about a head coach and a quarterback that are two of the best. Cooper Kupp is playing unbelievable football. If we're having a conversation of best duos in the NFL right now, Stafford and Cooper Kupp need to be in it. So just because of all those variables that they got. And the I'd say the last thing that I think, Molly, matters in here is that that number nine, that quarterback, he's a killer. He's an assassin, man. He don't care who's across the sideline. He will. His goal is to go out every single week and prove he's the baddest dude on the field. And he finally has a team that's going to allow it. And I know you're laughing, Stephen A.
Right, I know you're laughing,
but you're starting to see it.
Let me say something to you. First of all, you are funny. I give you credit where credit is due, making me laugh this early in the morning. It's really, really funny. Number one, first of all, don't ever associate the word good with Aaron Donald. It's nothing short of greatness. It's nothing short. Now, I know you corrected yourself a little later in your soliloquy, but you started off by saying good. Good rushes. No, you're talking about the creme de la creme, the elite,
the dude
that is Aaron Donald. Okay, watch your mouth. Okay, be very careful to use superlatives when it comes to him. He's that phenomenal. That's number one. Number two, I would like to say this to you. I get where you're coming from about the Rams. Stafford's a stud. I like him. So please, 69% of his passes, 5 touchdowns, just 1 interception thus far. He's lived up to his billing. He's certainly no Jared Goff. We see why they traded Goff and a couple of first-round picks along with a conditional pick to get him, because that's who Ed Stafford is, and we understand that, okay? This defense is not what it was last year, at least thus far, Dan Orlovsky. They're like 11th against the pass, 20th against the rush. That's not what we saw from the Los Angeles Rams last year. Let's just keep that in mind. And in light of that reality, combined with the Chiefs losing to the Ravens last week, which elevates their level of motivation, understanding that Tom Brady and them are trying to repeat and what have you, and Patrick Mahomes being that dude. I don't give a damn what you say about Matthew Stafford. He ain't Patrick Mahomes. I don't give a damn what you say about Cooper Kupp. He ain't Tyreek Hill. I don't give a damn what you say about anybody else. They ain't Travis Kelce. Let's understand and put things in its proper perspective. And don't try to jinx what we all looking for, which is a rematch of Tom Brady versus Patrick Mahomes in the Super Bowl at SoFi. We don't give a damn. We ain't looking for no Cowboys. We ain't looking for Matt Jones and the New England Patriots. I mean, it would be nice to see Lamar Jackson, but hell, we ain't thinking about that either. We want a rematch because the Patrick Mahomes that's expected to show up in the Super Bowl next year ain't going to have a messed up toe. You know what I'm saying? I mean, Travis Kelce ain't going to drop passes. I spoke to that brother. He ain't going to drop passes again. He'll be ready. We know what a stud Tyreek Hill is. He ain't going to be neutralized that way. Clyde Edwards-Helaire, he ain't going to fumble like he did, all right, last week, okay, with over a minute left. These things are not going to happen. And Tyrann Mathieu, the honey badger, is back, and we know that elevates their secondary exponentially. So when we look at the Kansas City Chiefs, I'm not sneezing at the Rams, because you got to get through the NFC to get to the Super Bowl, and I understand how formidable the Rams are. But if we got to pick a team that's the number one threat to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers repeating, don't tell me you got the Rams ahead of the Chiefs. That's just blasphemous.
I was talking about, like, chances to get back. I'm just looking at my conference. Overall, with the league, okay. I'm probably with you on the Chiefs. Now, their run defense got to get a little bit better. Their run defense got to get better. What? Whose defense got to get better?
That's Tampa Bay.
Tampa Bay, they got to get better, but it ain't as bad as the Chiefs' defense right now. I'm saying in conference, if I had to pick a team in the NFC after 2 weeks that I think can hold Tampa Bay from getting back and out to L.A., I think it's the Rams after 2 weeks, yes.
Okay.
Couple things before we go to break. Tom Brady had a 48 QBR last time he played this team. We have great sound from Alex Guerrero, his trainer, and his father that we need to play later. We'll do that. And as, by the way, speaking of Tom, today's the 20th anniversary of the Mo Lewis hit on Drew Bledsoe that gave Brady his shot that changed Brady's life in the course of the NFL. That was back in 2001. Could be Fields' turn. Hey, Molly Karam here, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Vivid Seats wants to get you to the games you love this spring. Experience every pitch, assist, game-winning shot live and in person. And the best part, each transaction is a step toward a free 11th ticket with Vivid Seats rewards. Score unbeatable perks like free tickets, surprise seat upgrades, and annual birthday deals. As the official ticketing partner of ESPN, Vivid Seats is offering you $20 off your first $200 ticket purchase with code TAKE. That's code TAKE. Visit vividseats.com or download the app today. Vivid Seats. Experience it live.
First Take fans, listen up. Have you heard you can listen to episodes of this very show ad-free on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership? That's right. All your favorite First Take episodes can be heard on Amazon Music ad-free. But that's not all. You can listen to other top podcasts like The Low Post and PTI ad-free as well. They also have favorite shows like The Daily, Part of My Take, and Up First, all without ads. You know what this means? Uninterrupted listening, so no more cliffhangers. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts, so we know they definitely have something for you. And it's already included in your Prime membership. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app for free or go to Amazon.com/First Take. That's Amazon.com/First Take to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Tonight, Sam Darnold and the undefeated Panthers travel to H-Town, hoping to shut down Davis Mills and the Texans and move to a perfect 3-0 Mills. The third-round pick out of Stanford steps in for Tyrod Taylor, who's out with a hammy. Carolina's had solid quarterback play from Darnold. Obviously, Christian McCaffrey is a beast, and their defense is for real. Let's take a look here at some undefeated teams through the season's first 2 weeks. These squads have a couple notable similarities, one being they all missed the postseason during the 2020 season. Always parity in the NFL. Lewis Riddick joining us now. Dan obviously is still here. Stephen A., what surprise 2-0 team are you buying the most?
I'm buying the Carolina Panthers. I really am. Now, don't get me wrong. Let me pump the brakes just a touch because Mr. Chippendales is in the house. He's blessing us with his presence because he's wreaking havoc on Monday
Night
Football.
Why do you all always hate on him? I think Lewis looks clean.
He always got the collar open, trying to look like the Mac Daddy.
Lewis, do you?
But he's earned it. He's got a beautiful family, of course. And by the way, he's doing a phenomenal job on Monday Night Football. Love listening to you. But here's the deal. Here's the deal, okay? The Carolina Panthers, I will bow down to this. They did play the Jets, okay, week one, and we know how anemic their offense has been.
Yeah.
We were all shocked at what they did to New Orleans based on what we saw against what New Orleans did against Green Bay. Mm-hmm. The Carolina Panthers have the number one defense mm-hmm. against the run, against the pass, in yards allowed, in points allowed. They're number one across the board. And oh, by the way, they got 10 sacks in the first two games. 10, okay? So I'm looking at them and I'm saying, damn, Sam Darnold, he completed about 66-68% of his passes. Mm-hmm. I'm looking at DJ Moore and Robbie Anderson. They could play. And how many times do I have to say, and put the three of us up on the screen, please, because I want to look at Lewis Riddick and Dan Orlovsky, when I say this, because I've said this about Christian McCaffrey before, and I'm going to say it again. Ladies and gentlemen, it's damn near reverse discrimination. If this brother were black, we'd be talking about him more. I mean, this dude is special.
Yeah.
Special, okay? Running the football, catching the football out of the backfield. We know what he did coming out of college at Stanford. Christian McCaffrey is a special, special dude. And the combination of all of that stuff, I'm looking at them, I'm saying, wait a minute. This is an upgrade. We love what Teddy Bridgewater is doing in Denver. He didn't look like that in Carolina. They didn't have anybody else that looked like that in recent memory in Carolina. I'm looking at Sam Darnold right now. Looks like a damn good, decent quarterback. And Matt Rhule just seems to know what buttons to push. The man seems to know what the hell he's doing. Now, it's still early. But when we talk about a team that I'm buying, I'm looking at you and you got defense. You can run the football, or at least you have somebody out of the backfield that is a playmaker. Okay, you got some of the wideouts outside the numbers that can do some things. And you got a coach that knows what the hell he's doing. I like it. Carolina's my choice right now, guys, in terms of the surprise 2-0 team I'm buying the most.
I'm going with the Denver Broncos.
Yeah,
Go ahead, Lewis.
Yeah. I was just going to say, look, I don't disagree with you, Stephen A. I agree that right now Carolina has looked very good. And you could tell, like, when I was down in the Senior Bowl with Matt Rhule last year, you could tell this is a special dude. He's a special dude as far as a leader is concerned. And he's special in this regard. Forget the X and O part. Just the ability to communicate and get the best out of his players and really connect with them and teach them. He's special. But I'm going to disagree with this. I'm just disagreeing on which one is I'm buying the most. And look, some people are going to say I'm a homer. I'm going to say this, though. What's going on in Vegas, what's going on with the Raiders right now is special. I think this is different. I think this, in year 4, is their time now. Now is their time, and I think for one reason primarily to begin with, and then it will filter from there, and that's because of this. This truly, no matter what we try to make it out to be as far as the relationship between John Gruden and Derek Carr, I can tell you this relationship is rock solid, and Derek is the future in Las Vegas. And there are going to be many people who believe John's always just looking for the next quarterback, and or Derek isn't that guy. He's not as good as Patrick. He's not as good as Aaron. He's not as good as Matthew Stafford or Russell Wilson or whoever it is. I can tell you this, though. This guy right now is in contention for MVP in the league after 2 weeks, if you want to start having that conversation. Why? Because he understands exactly what this offense is supposed to look like through the eyes of John Gruden. He has been given free rein at the line of scrimmage to do what he needs to do, like the best quarterbacks in the NFL are given. And this defense under Gus Bradley this year, they have built it front to back. Now the pass rush really does have some people who can actually get there. Max Crosby is having a career year. Yannick Ngakoue is going to have a career year. Denzel Perryman and KJ Wright bring in the experience in this defense to tie it all together. I'm telling you, look out for the Vegas Raiders now. Look out for them. And look out for Derek Carr in that MVP conversation.
Yeah, Lewis, I agree with that. Stephen A., in regards to the Panthers and Sam Darnold, it's weird because I was told by everybody he sucked, and he doesn't seem to suck anymore. The Raiders, I love. I'm taking the Denver Broncos. The moment they traded for Teddy Bridgewater, I thought, that's a playoff football team with Teddy Bridgewater. And we're talking about the Raiders having a good defense. We're talking about the Carolina Panthers having a good defense. Teddy Bridgewater's balling right now. He's always been this type of player. And, Lewis, you noticed that has been incredibly smart. We've always thought Teddy Bridgewater was this really intelligent player. He's going to go to the right place with the football, but he was physically limited. And for my opinion, the physical has caught up to the mental. You're watching Teddy move around like a big-time athlete. You're watching him push the football downfield with explosion with their pieces. Noah Fant is a big-time player. Cortland Sutton is a big-time. Hamler's a great player. Wait till Jerry Jeudy gets back. So I think they're as diverse as an offense. Pat Shurmur gets a lot of bad rap because of his time as a head coach. He's one of the top play callers in the NFL right now. And they're doing so much motion and so much play action and so much college concept stuff. This offense is very difficult to handle now that Teddy's physical talent has gone through the roof. But their defense, as good as I love Carolina's defense, dude, their defense is so good. Patrick Surtain has become an elite, elite player for their defense. They will hit you. They're fast. Mm-hmm. They can play man coverage. Mm-hmm. They can get after you. And, Lewis, I'd love to get your opinion on it because, like, for me, that's the difference between the Broncos defense and the Raiders defense is when you need to play man, because at some points you do, I feel like they can do it, and I don't really believe that the Raiders are there yet.
Okay, hold on. Before Lewis chimes in, let me jump on the both of y'all before he answers this question. You football aficionados and stuff like that. And it's legit because y'all are, and I give that to y'all, but that doesn't mean I can't get on y'all, the reporter extraordinaire that I am. First of all, I never said Sam Darnold sucked. I said that about Adam Gase. Let's be clear, Dan Orlovsky.
I never said that, Stephen A. I stand by that.
So you on this show enough to know you never heard me say that about Sam Darnold. I said Adam Gase, who showed up to his press conference high, as far as I'm concerned. Just an opinion. I don't know for fact, but damn it, he looked high, okay? That's why he out of a damn job now, because the Jets played like they were high under his stewardship. Now let's get to you, Lewis Riddick. You bring up the Raiders. I'm going to ignore the MVP conversation about Mr. 61 QBR, that is Derek Carr. I'm going to ignore that for a moment. When you look at the Raiders right now, we can't take into consideration that week one against the Baltimore Ravens, you're decimated at the running back spot because all your running backs came down with ACL injuries. I know you had Latavius Murray who scored a touchdown in that game, but nevertheless, he had just arrived here 3 days earlier. And then last week against the Pittsburgh Steelers, don't get me started with the offensive line. Can't block a day. They couldn't block us, okay, right now. That's how bad the offensive line is, okay?
That's so your squad, though.
I'm just saying, and I'm very hurt by saying that, but I'm real. I'm not happy with what I'm seeing from the offensive line. They can't run block. They can't protect the quarterback, okay? And, oh, by the way, you had T.J. Watt go down with his groin injury. Highsmith as well. So we just going to ignore that about the Raiders? We just going to ignore that, Lewis?
No.
No, we're not going to ignore it. We're not going to ignore it. But in the same vein, look. I mean, who did Carolina beat? Carolina beat the Jets, whatever. And Carolina beat New Orleans, who were missing half of their coaching staff. Okay.
So what the so, players would have?
I mean,
no,
so
defense.
But you picked them.
A lot of defensive players.
But
too.
You picked them. But you know, hey, you know what? You know what? And let me just say this. I'm a believer in Carolina, and I will say this about Sam too. Look, I'm with Dan on this. I believe. Look, you know how much I believe surroundings help dictate player performance.
Okay.
You know how much I believe surroundings help dictate performance. Period. Across any industry.
Yeah.
Any. And this is an indictment on the previous regime of the Jets. There is no question about that. This is an indictment on them, not Sam, on them.
It's I agree.
Also, it brings some shine to what's going on down there in Carolina and how they have built this football team. Look, 2 years ago when they spent all those draft picks on that defense, over the past 2 years, the draft picks that they have spent on defense, they are all balling. No question. I can't wait to see them play a higher level of competition because I think they're for real. No
right,
doubt.
Three different answers. Let me just say this, though. I'm looking at the schedule. The Dolphins are at Raiders, no Tua. Broncos host the Chiefs, rookie quarterback Zach Wilson. Panthers and an injured Tyrod Taylor tonight. They're all going to be 3-0.
Correct.
Okay.
Yeah. All right.
The Cardinals are nice, too, Molly. The Cardinals are nice, too.
Yeah, but I don't count the Cardinals as much of a surprise. Despite it being only week 3 of the NFL season, there's been already a fair share of injuries at the quarterback position. You just heard some of them. Davis Mills will be under center for the Texans tonight with Tyrod dealing with a hamstring injury. He's one of 3 quarterbacks who has been ruled out for this week's action, with the status of Carson Wentz and Ben Roethlisberger still looming. Stephen A., I'll ask you this. Obviously, you're a Steelers fan. There are a laundry list of injuries. I'm looking at them. Would adding Cam make Pittsburgh better?
Go get Cam now. If I'm the Pittsburgh Steelers, go get Cam Newton right now. Ben Roethlisberger is not healthy. And at his age, he is just a stationary type. He's a statue. He's a statue, as Swagoo Marcus Spears pointed out yesterday. He can't move. And so when you look at it from that perspective, desperate times call for desperate measures. We all know that he got beat out by Mac Jones. Let's just call it what it is. We all know how I've lamented the accuracy. I've lamented nothing else about Cam Newton. But the accuracy is an issue, no doubt about it. Okay, and I'm not even bringing in COVID into the situation in case he's unvaccinated, because that's a different subject for another time. But I will tell you this, strictly from a football perspective, when Mason Rudolph or Dwayne Haskins are your options, you go get Cam Newton right now, guys. You go get Cam Newton right now. He can move. He can run with the football. He can extend a play. I mean, listen, that's what you need right now. I'm not saying I like it, Dan Orlovsky, but I'm saying the situation in Pittsburgh is so dire, I'm not averse to going out and getting Cam Newton right now.
Yeah, you don't go get Cam because it doesn't make you a playoff offense. No quarterback is going to make this offense a playoff offense. They will, no matter who's playing, they are going to be incredibly dependent on how great the defense is given that game. The offensive line is terrible, and anybody that is surprised by that was not paying attention through this whole offseason when everyone was saying, you got to get better offensive linemen. When they drafted Najee Harris, who's going to be a really good player, you should have taken an offensive lineman. At some point, the Steelers got to look to the future, Stephen A. At some point, the Steelers got to be 21 about it. And Mike Tomlin, who's as great a head coach as there is in the NFL, has got to look at this and be honest about his football team. The quarterback bringing in Cam Newton does not make this a different offense. If Ben Roethlisberger is not healthy enough to play for 1 week or multiple weeks, play Dwayne Haskins. This kid is an ex-first-round talent who really didn't work out in Washington a lot because of what was the outside variables, but also because he liked being in the NFL more than playing in the NFL. Your option is play Dwayne Haskins, see if he's realized this is his last opportunity. But it's always going to be about how great can the defense play, and is our offensive line going to play bad or atrocious?
Yeah, Haskins, 1-5 last season, 3-10 in his career.
Go ahead, Lewis.
Yeah, you know what? I agree with Dan in this one. I don't know that Cam really can make a difference on this team. I just don't. I don't see where he has something that is going to continue to keep afloat the hopes and aspirations of this organization from a playoff berth type of perspective. If Ben is healthy, obviously they're always going to have that hope. They're always going to have that, you know, in the back of their mind that they can still contend for a playoff berth because he's Ben Roethlisberger, because he's been there for so long, because he knows this system, he knows these players, he's their leader, he's a surefire Hall of Famer. I don't believe that Cam necessarily continues that. I don't. And I think Cam would just be so far behind the eight ball that I just don't think this offense in any way can expand in such a way that he would be able to elevate them in any way, especially given the limitations that they have on the offensive line. It's a limited offense right now, and they are going to need to rebuild this, and they are going to have to look to the future. And I think Mike is already doing that with the signing of Dwayne Haskins. I do believe they need to find out. And you know what? What better time to find out what exactly you have, although Steelers fans aren't going to want to hear this.
Steelers
fans don't look at any season as being a throwaway season. I know you don't. I know you don't. But you know what?
It's too early for
that. I also don't believe that Dwayne Haskins is just a throwaway. I don't believe that, and I don't believe Mike Tomlin believes that. This is just a bad season for them.
Take it from a Giants fan.
It's a bad season for them.
See, this is the problem. First of all, they're 1-1, now they're 0-2 like the Giants. And secondly, and more importantly, I'm about to sit up here and give my man Lee Fitting, who oversees the football coverage for ESPN with these astute, exceptional NFL analysts that we bring on our show. And then Lewis Riddick, the voice of Monday Night Football, utters that stuff. This is the man that should have been the GM of the New York Giants. How you feeling about that right now, New York Giants?
He
was doing exceptionally well until that take about my Steelers. Exceptionally well.
Stephen A., what makes Mason Rudolph and
Dwayne Haskins. Come on.
Where's my list? Have you seen this injury list?
Look.
Have you seen this? Have you seen the names? There's nine big names on there. Oh, my goodness.
No. I don't want to look at it.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code FIRSTTAKE and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to gamble responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. This U.S. promotional offer not available in D.C., Mississippi, North Carolina, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 for New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. For Massachusetts, 1-800-327-5050. For Iowa, 1-800-BETS-OFF. For Puerto Rico, 1-800-981-0023. For West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. First bet offer for new customers only. Subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.
Hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. Staying on the East Coast, 76ers all-star forward Ben Simmons will not report for the opening of training camp next week and intends to never play another game for the franchise, sources told ESPN on Tuesday. Simmons, 25, wants a trade out of Philadelphia, told management that he has no plans to wear an NBA uniform again until he's moved to a new team. Now, he's got 4 years, $147 million left on his max contract, including $33 million for 21-22, and clearly understands the potential financial implications of sitting out. The Sixers could test his willingness to stay away by fining him a considerable salary. However, Coach Doc Rivers still optimistic, telling Stephen A. that yesterday on First Take.
Listen, we're going to go through it. We're going to always do what's best for the team. But I can tell you up front, we would love to get Ben back. And if we can, we're going to try to do that. The one thing we did do last year was we gave him the ball. we put the ball in Ben Simmons' hands, and he led our team. He led it to the best team in the East in the regular season and one game away from the Eastern Finals. We can win a title with Ben. I just believe that. You know, Ben has a long contract, so it's in our hands, and we want him back.
Listen, on First Take, we love talking NFL, but we also love talking some NBA and having Jay Williams here with us. Good to see you, sir.
By the way, we're going to be talking a lot more NBA from now on. This is the best season. This is the best season in the NBA in the last 25. I haven't looked this forward to an NBA season in 25 years.
Lakers, please, Brooklyn. Everyone, stay healthy, please.
That's right.
Yes.
Please. Where does Philly go from here, Jay?
Well, this is where it's going to get interesting. Some could say, well, Philly is put in the corner. They should make a trade. But if you're getting pennies on the dollar, there's a lot of egos at stake here, Stephen A. And when there are egos at stake, when Ben Simmons and his crew come out with a statement saying, we're not going to play this season, and I don't expect to ever wear a jersey again, it makes me wonder what Daryl Morey's going to do. Because if he decides to stick his foot and dig his feet in the sand, then you could have a situation where if I'm Philly, I can't get the value I want in return for you because they tried to get that value during the NBA draft, then fine, we're not going to pay you. Sit. Take us to arbitration in a couple of years. You know, he's owed a huge lump sum of money.
A couple of months.
Whatever the time is.
A month.
Fine.
He's due 50% of his salary November 2nd.
All right, so take us to arbitration.
Right.
Let's figure it out. Because if I can't get the return value for you that I expect to get for somebody like you, then we'll figure it out after that.
Here's the deal. Before I even go any further, first of all, thank you for being on the show. I stole you from the hallway because you usually suited down. You're not today, but that's right. I'm going to forgive you for that because I stole you in the hallway. You didn't know you was going to be on today because I had to get I wanted you in here because I wanted your thoughts about the Doc Rivers interview yesterday and what, you know, what your feelings are because Ben Simmons has said, I will never play for the Philadelphia 76ers again. And the 76ers are saying, we want him back. He's still got 4 years, $146.6 million left on his deal. This is not James Harden. This is not Anthony Davis approaching the last year of their deals. He's got 4 years. Where do you stand on all of this in regards to this situation?
I would always advise Ben Simmons to go back. I think it can increase his value. I think he could then find a chance to go to another team. But from what I'm hearing, Stephen A., is that it's interesting with Ben. Because it almost feels like Doc had to say that by default. Now, I know Doc, personally. I firmly do believe that Doc does believe he can win a championship with Ben Simmons. But when you try to make a trade for James Harden, I don't think anybody in a reasonable mind would say that's not a fair trade, even if you're Ben Simmons. James Harden's here, Ben Simmons is here, I think. But when there aren't available pieces, like Bradley Beal isn't going anywhere, he's going to stay in D.C. for the foremost time. Damian Lillard wants to stay in Portland, you know, because now he's Chauncey Billups. So what is that upgrade if it feels like Philadelphia's stuck?
But do you believe Ben Simmons is justified in feeling what he feels?
I don't know how exactly Ben Simmons feels. I do know that he doesn't like, I don't think he likes that relationship with Joel Embiid.
That's true.
I think there are major issues right there, and Joel Embiid trying to extend the olive branch to him. At the end, I think it was just something that he's just like, whatever, I don't really care. I'm over that. I don't think he knows that he will not get the kind of fan love and attention that he wants in Philadelphia. I think he's fed up. I think he's done.
Let me tell you what I feel. And I got some stuff that I want to say here. Number one, I think that Ben Simmons is wrong. I don't think that Philadelphia's hands are clean in this either, though.
The way he's handling it, or he's just wrong in general?
I think he's wrong, period. Joel Embiid was there with you for years before you signed your contract extension, so you knew what you were signing on for. Don't sit up there and a year later after you wet the bed in the postseason because you scared to shoot, all of a sudden the finger is being pointed at everybody else. Now, he may not say, he may say, I love the city of Philadelphia, I love the fans. Well, guess what? Part of the reason you don't want to go back is because the vitriol that you're feeling on the part of the fan base is something you don't appear strong enough to handle. That's a heart issue to me. That's a heart issue because as a person that reported in Philadelphia for 17 years, I will come to the defense of that city all day, every day in this one regard. They will give you love if you earn it, and they will hold you accountable if you don't. They're very fair-minded in that regard. And I will defend that city to the umph degree in that regard. So in that regard, he is wrong. Now, Doc Rivers came on the air yesterday, and he was talking. I brought up how what he said about Ben Simmons not necessarily being that championship point guard. He doesn't know how he answered it immediately after the game. And he went on and he explained himself. He has to understand
What he explained was not what he said the day after, mm-hmm. the night of that other loss. And everybody knows it's not consistent with what he said, regardless of what his explanation is, even though I totally believe that he wants Ben Simmons to stay. Having said all of that, you did try to trade, and this is where Ben Simmons, we got to come to his defense. They tried to trade him to Houston last year. They were on the verge, Molly.
Yeah.
They had James Harden. That's when Brooklyn stepped in at the 11th hour and 59th mm-hmm. minute and offered the house mm-hmm. to get James Harden to Brooklyn, because Daryl Morey was about to get him to Philadelphia. Ben Simmons was going, knew he was going. He even received a call, them saying, yo, you about to go to Houston. And Ben Simmons had no problem with it whatsoever. He had no problem leaving to go to Houston. So when Rich Paul or anybody at Ben Simmons' camp says he wants to go anywhere but Philly, it's consistent with what I'm hearing, because mm-hmm. numerous teams have shown an interest and he has said no to anyone. Yeah. So we got to pay attention to that as well. Now what they're going to do is this. You can find him, because I challenge him on that. You ain't showing up, I wouldn't give mm-hmm. him a dime. Then I would sit here and I'd keep my eyes on Portland, not just because of C.J. McCollum, Robert Covington, a couple of first-round picks, because that's what they were willing to offer, even though Neil O'Shea don't want to say that. That's what they were willing to offer Philly. But here's what I would keep my eyes on. Damian Lillard is chilling right now.
Mm-hmm.
He wants to give Chauncey Billups an opportunity and the organization to see what direction we're going in. By around December, mm-hmm. early January, we'll know. And at that particular moment in time, if things ain't right in Portland, even though Damian Lillard would prefer to be in New York with the Knicks because he want to be at the Garden, not Barclays Center, in the end, would he sign off on going to Philly? I think there's a chance. I'm not saying he will, but I think there's a chance he will. I really do.
That's why I don't pay. That's why if you're Daryl Morey, you're in a position of power. Just wait. Wait, everybody says you don't have the leverage because you're going to get pennies on the dollar for it. Take me to arbitration. I'm not going to pay you. We're going to sit here and wait. Eventually, we're going to find a disgruntled employee.
Gotcha. Yeah, for sure. Obviously, this is going to have major implications on the association. We'll keep you up to speed on all of it as we hear more.